No way, it's Monday like already.
Welcome to the Fat to Fit or Else podcast, where we talk about fitness, food, motivation, and general angry rants from the fat man himself,
me!
Stretch Roberts.
Yes,
so get ready for all of the above with a side of bacon. Here is your host, Stretch.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back to a brand new week. It is Fat to Fit or Else. I am your host, the one and only Stretch Ari, and this is how we will start today's show. I kicked another challenge right in the pie hole, is what I did. You know, it's weird. I didn't even walk that much today. I did so much Friday and Saturday that I got to it. In fact, right now I just totaled. I was going to go for another walk tonight, so I'm looking at a short one. There's a little loop around my house, so I can get about 4,000 steps if I just do that. And I'm sitting at 65,119 steps right now. So I could hit 70,000. That's an MF. That's a lot of steps for me, time-wise. And it's not that it's hard or challenging. It's time-consuming. And as I keep everything here honest, because I want you guys to have the, you know, workout experience, maybe you can relate to it, or if you're in a similar situation, you can look out for it. I am currently pretty heavy, and I am walking so much, my knees are really tender. In fact, I went on to Amazon today. I didn't pull the trigger and order them. I don't know why, because I'm an a-hole and I hate myself, I guess. But I'm going to get the neoprene sleeves. I've always had messed up knees. I've had knee surgeries, and it's just cartilage, and it's just from being a fat ass and doing cardio. And right now, walking is my cardio, and I walk on concrete. Granted, I do wear the really, really awesome Spiral Wave Maxes, and I think that's really helped my feet. I'm not having foot issues right now, and remember, I'm a guy with arch issues and calcium, and I have heel spurs. I've got so many foot problems, but the fact that I have the custom-made orthotic and I have the Spiral Wave Max and sometimes my Hokas, I'm good. I'm good. My feet are doing really well, but that doesn't stop just that. The cartilage in your knee is the cushion between the bones. And it just that stop, that boom, heavy-ass fat man step. Boom, boom. It pushes down on that cartilage. Boom, boom. Every single step. And it really, like, I'm not kidding. It hurts to walk downhill. I've said that. And it not like I can't do it, but it's like, ow, crap. If I go downstairs sideways because it hurts so bad. So that is the problem. I know the answer. Hey, fat ass, lose some weight, and that will help. And I'm slowly doing it. The Ozempic is kicking in. By the way, the heartburn, I switched out from the Tums. By the way, hot tip. Thank you for the tip. They say that has a weird thing with joints and shoulders and stuff like that. The Tums. There's been a link to it. I haven't done very much of it. I got on the Prilosec, and it's gone. But granted, Prilosec is something you take once a day. You can do it for 2 weeks straight. And I haven't had, like, I've had zero heartburn since I started on the Tums, and then I hit the Prilosec, and now I've had, now that I started the Prilosec, I haven't had to take any Tums either. So the heartburn is going away. They say that's about a week or two. It's weird that it took 2 weeks for it to kick in, but that's where we are. I beat the challenge, 65,000 steps, and my knees are sore. And my knees are sore from taking so many steps. I haven't walked that much in a long time, especially on concrete. So I'm thankful in one sense for my really high-quality shoes. Shout out to Spira and the Wave Max. But on the other end of that, I need to lose weight more. So, and I'm not dieting. Now that I'm doing the Ozempic Double Down, I just eat less. I eat smaller meals every meal. It's not bad. But I've been eating same old crap I always eat, same old food. Not going crazy, but I'm definitely eating smaller portions. So we will see how it goes. Slowly, I look at the scale, down a couple pounds, which if you're going to lose weight, that's ideal. These, when I'm on the diet and I'm really pushing it, and I drop 5 pounds, 6 pounds, 7 pounds, up to 10 pounds in a week, it never seems sustainable. So I'll be cool, kind of sticking to a normal lifestyle and losing a pound or two a week. I'm good with that. And let it just keep going. In 10 weeks, 12 weeks, that's 12 pounds, 15 pounds, somewhere in that ballpark. So I'm comfortable with that. We'll see if it works out like that. But that's where we are as of right now. Let me get into... God, I've got a lot to talk about. Let's talk about dogs. You guys, if you're following my Instagram, you guys know every step I have taken on these walks has been with at least my new dog, Ice. I walked that little bastard so much yesterday that he just passed out when we went into the bedroom. I'm like, let's go to bed. We went in and he just laid down and passed out. And normally, he's like a little child and he throws temper tantrums every night. We come in and he literally starts like rolling around on his bed and digging in his bed and flipping around. And then he'll jump up on the bed and he'll bite me and he'll jump back down. And he throws this hissy fit at bedtime every night. Last night, he ended up on 3 long walks yesterday. I did almost 13,000 steps on Saturday. And he was with me for every one of them. So he was a tired little dude. But with that being said, I told you guys my female German Shepherd is a dick. She is very well behaved. She listens. She's okay on a leash. She pulls because she wants to be the leader. But she's aggressive as hell. And she doesn't like anything coming near her yard. And when you're walking, she doesn't want anyone coming near her owners. And if you're an animal, period, she wants to kill you. That's her. That's that dog. And it's weird because you're like, she's a really good dog, yet she's a dick. But I'll take that. I'm a dick. Dog reflects your owner. So here we are. I'm walking last night, and Ice is picking up a lot of the aggression from her on the leash. And he's still cool with other dogs, but he's getting gnarly with people. And I think he's possessive of me, and it's a thing. I'm watching and trying to figure it out as we go. So here is Mr. Ice, and we're on a 10:30 at night. We went for a walk. And it's great because I live in a neighborhood, and I live in a big, a dead-end street. I live in a really large dead-end street, but it ends up being 3 streets. And it comes down, and then they call it the loop. You can go down, and there's a big circle. And then after the big circle, you make the giant loop. You come back where you started, and voila, it's just a walk around the block, basically. But there's no way out of there. There's only one way in and one way out with a car. So I do that. And it's a pain in the ass, really, to walk my dogs because I'm walking them. They're aggressive, and I am now walking them, and there's always another dog. And every dick idiot. By the way, if you're one of these idiots, you're an idiot, and people think you're an idiot. They think you're out walking your dog, that you're socializing your dog. I am exercising my dog, not socializing my dog. My dog doesn't want to socialize. My dog wants to kill your dog. And then when they're together, my 2 dogs want to kill your dog. And I deliberately go out of my way to cross the street, and I end up crossing the street, back and forth. And I'll do it 10 times on a walk. And no one else does it. And I'm like, am I the only person in this neighborhood that doesn't want anybody else's dog? And it's not so much that I think they're going to kill your dog. I don't want to risk it. I don't know what they'll do. I know they get aggressive. So I would rather stay away from you with my dog than risk that. And there's people, when you cross the street, they will cross the street. And then at that point, I don't know if you guys have met me. My name is Stretch. I'm really rude. I will say things like, hey, dumbass, I'm crossing the street to get away from you. My dogs aren't nice. I will say that. That's how I roll. So, and then they're like, oh, and they get offended. And then last night, I'm walking just Ice, and we're cruising out, and then I hear a dog barking, but I don't see it. And then it comes running out of the darkness, and it's a little yappy, shih tzu-y looking mofo, and it's barking, barking, barking aggressively and running at my dog. And my dog's on a leash. And thank God it's Ice, because Ice is way cooler to dogs than Nova, my shepherd. My shepherd would have been losing her mind. And I'm holding him, and he's pulling forward like he wants to come, and I with him, I still don't know. Is he going to try to kick that dog's ass because that dog's acting aggressive, or is he going to try to play with it? I'm not sure, but I don't want to find out. So finally, I'm like, I'm thinking someone left their front door open, maybe let it go pee in the front of their house or something, and then it just saw us and took off after us. But no, there's a dude walking it. It's off leash. It's after 10:30 at night at this point, and it's charging my dog, barking. And my dog's a big dog. You guys have seen Ice. He's 87 pounds, close to 90 pounds. That's a solid dog. And I look up, and there's a dude walking way back, like 20 yards back, and he's on his cell phone, got his face buried in the screen. He's not even paying attention. And then he walks up to me as my dog is like, and I'm holding him back with all my might. And he goes, "Oh, don't worry. She's a wimp. She's not going to do anything. Dude, you have a shih tzu." And I go, "That's cool, because my dog's going to try to kill it if I let him." And then he looks at me like, "Oh, my God." And he runs and picks his dog up like I have offended him. And I'm like, "Dude, put your dog on a leash. And what do you not get? Like, if you have a dog that's cool and with other..." But that dog wasn't cool. It was being a dick. But if you have a dog that's super well-trained, most dogs aren't. Most dogs have territory issues and resource guarding issues. There's a lot that goes into how a dog's going to handle each situation. And I saw I've been doing a lot of dog training videos and stuff because I'm really working with Ice, trying to hone him in. And this was I'd never seen this before, but it made sense. It said, if you're walking your dog and an off-leash dog charges your dog, do not pull your dog back. Now, I did that last night because this dog weighed about 8 pounds and Ice is 90, so it wasn't going to be fair. But if it's a fair fight and there's a dog charging and that dog looks aggressive, you're basically making your dog the victim by exposing it. You're pulling it back so its head is up, its neck is exposed, and if that dog's aggressive, it's going to get it. It says, let them fight. Like, if someone's dog runs up, and then they showed examples of them walking this dog, an aggressive off-leash dog came up, and they let, and this dog got down and went at it. And when it went at it, the off-leash dog ran away. And then they had another example when they were walking the dog, and an off-leash dog charged it, and they pulled it up, and then the off-leash dog attacked because they sensed a vulnerability. They're going to take it. They're like opportunistic little bastards dogs are. It made a lot of sense. So basically, if you're walking your dog and an off-leash dog comes off, I know you don't want your dog to get into a fight, especially if you've got like a, what they call a mean breed, like a pit bull or something. And I love pit bulls. But if you really are cognizant of the fact that if my dog attacks this dog, they're going to try to put my dog to sleep or I'm going to get sued or whatever. But their dog's off-leash, their dog started it, you would be okay. Unless your dog killed it. So just know your dog a little. But really good tips on that. And I can't stand people. Oh, there's a guy that walks by, an old guy that walks a dog, and it barks and barks and is like a complete a-hole, and it barks at everything it sees and tries to, like, attack dogs. And my German Shepherd hates it. And it'll walk by on the other side of the street, and the German Shepherd will be in the house, and it'll just go crazy on the other side of the street barking because it knows my dog is there. And my dog hates it. And yesterday, it attacked a dog on the other side of the street, and I was out there with both my dogs in my front yard, which is fenced. And the guy drags it off, and it's going crazy, and he can't control it. And he's coming towards my fence. And I stood up. I'm sitting in my chair in the front yard, and I go, "Dude, bad move coming this way, because your dog's a fucking dick, and my dogs are going to freak out." And he keeps coming. And then sure enough, my female shepherd loses her mind. I grab Ice. Because Ice a jumper. I don't trust him. I think he's going to jump the fence and get at something if I don't really watch him. And Ice always, I keep the pinch collar on and the collar on, even in the yard. I don't trust him yet. I haven't had him long enough to really know that dog. So I'm watching that, and my female shepherd is losing her mind. And I finally get her, and then this guy he can't even walk. His dog's going so crazy, he's just standing there in front of my fence. And I told him, "Your dog is an effing dick. I effing hate that dog. Get the F out of here," is what I said to this dude. And my dog's losing her mind. And then I grabbed my dog by the collar because I was pissed at her for not listening to me. And I said, "Just because this dog is an effing dick doesn't mean you can be. Get in the house." And I smacked her in the ass, and then she ran in the house and knew she was in trouble and went to bed, and she had a timeout. But I hate that. Dick dogs. Dick people and dick dogs. On that same note, I also had something crazy, and this is something I wanted to talk about to everyone because I know it doesn't matter where you live. Right now, times are hard, and crime is high, especially in California. And I know the bulk of the Fat to Fit or Else people are in Southern California, and that's throwback to my radio days here and Big 49 days and all that stuff. But there's people all over the world. And right now, what's happening in Los Angeles in particular, there's a lot of break-ins, a lot of home robberies. And one happened to one of my neighbors that I just found out about, and it happened while I was walking my dogs. And I didn't see anything. It was still daylight. And some dudes came right to the front door, went in the house, grabbed all the valuables, put them in bags, and walked right out, got in a car, and drove away. That's how bold they are now. They're watching houses. There's people putting up, like, rocks with cameras in them, like in on curbs across the street from houses. They are staking stuff out. These people had left, and they weren't home, and these guys knew it. And it was a weeknight. And what's weird is they have a really big dog, because they had left somewhere, they put the dog in, like, daycare. So, but someone knew. So it was crazy. I was alarmed at that because it's really close to home. That kind of stuff typically doesn't happen around here, but it's happening everywhere. I know a friend of mine lives in like Encino area, and they had left the house. And as soon as they left the house, 5 minutes later, a carload of guys. And by the way, these guys were wearing masks, not COVID mask, like mask over their face. And they came in, did their thing and bounced. And the same thing happened to my friend in Encino, where they left, somebody pulled in 5 minutes after they left, same exact robbery, and then drove away. It's very bold right now. I would say arm yourselves, but here's the problem: if you're not home and your gun is put away, they will take it. I don't know if anybody saw that video that went viral this weekend in LA. Four or five dudes broke into a house and steal a gun safe. They're like rolling out a safe. I think a gun safe or a safe. And they're rolling out with it, and people are filming them, and it's daylight, and they're taking the safe out of this house, and no one does anything. I'm going to go ahead and open fire, is what I'm going to say. I'm going to draw down on you if I see you robbing my neighbor. But on this day, I was out walking the dogs, and I saw nothing. It is so hot in this room right now. I'm drinking. But that happened. Another side note that was interesting, because I did not expect anything to come of this. You guys know I do the Bible study podcast. I thought it would be just a fun little project to reach out to the presidential candidates, nominees, Trump and Harris, those two. No, I didn't hit up Kennedy. And asked them for a question, a Bible question. And I asked both of them pretty much the same question, and one of them replied back. I had a detailed email from one of them that was very well thought out. Now, do I think that the actual presidential candidate sat down and wrote it to me? No, but whoever did wrote it as them, and it was comprehensive. I turned it into a episode of God Wants to Talk to You, which is my Bible study podcast, and I did the verse of the Bible they talked about and discussed the whole process. It was interesting, and I was surprised. I was very surprised that I got an answer back. But, you know, I addressed it as my name, you know, that I'm coming from the podcast God Wants to Talk to You, and I have a question. Very cool, but it was cool to get a response. So that was an episode of that you could listen to as well. Anywhere you can hear this podcast, you can hear that podcast. And then I got stories to get into, and those are always fun as we talk fitness. This one, I like it. It's one of those clickbait stories, but I clicked on it, and it was how to lose one pant size by Halloween. And that's a good goal, because we head into fat season. Right now, you should be in thin season right now. We've been through summer. You've been outside. You've had more daylight. You have time to work out. It's going to start getting dark earlier and earlier and earlier. And the food gets bad. And the weather gets bad. And you don't go outside. And you don't have as much to do. You can go to the gym. But we're heading into fat season. Halloween kicks off fat season. and the candy and the junk. It's fat season coming. So it might be nice if you're feeling a little chunky and you didn't take as great of care as you should have this summer. Here's a way you could drop one pant size by Halloween and then get into fat season and gain back two pant sizes through fat season, which is the entire holidays. But here we go. Number one, and this is a lady. She is a female fitness trainer, and she said she just wants to simplify it. She says, do these things for the next 3 months, and you will lose a pant size. Number one, and number one on her list is strength training, something I preach left and right here on the Fat to Fit or Else podcast, because it's the best thing you can do for weight loss, lifting weights. And you don't have to go be Arnold and pump heavy weights and throw it around, but some resistance training, some strength training with some free weights, machines, whatever. It's really, really good for you. They say that cardio is just, you know, whatever. But if you want to look toned, and if you're not lifting weights, chances are you'll lose the weight and be skinny fat. We've talked about that as well. And it's a really good plan. I like this plan. So strength training, 3 days a week, get to that immediately, and you will lose the weight, because your number two is going to make you actually lose the weight. But it is vital to strength train so that you look good once you lose the weight. You can lose the weight and not look good. You look like, ooh, God, are you ill? Are you sick? Because that's what you look like when you lose a lot of weight. I'm talking to all of you Ozempic people that aren't doing it the right way. All right, number two, track your calories and your protein intake. That's where you lose the weight, your calories. Being in a caloric deficit, that is it. If you really want to lose a dress size by Halloween, just go on a diet. You don't even have to work out. Diet is, I'm going to give it 90% of weight loss is diet. But the fitness training, it'll, you know, picks up your metabolism. It does a lot of things, but it'll make you look good as you lose the weight. Tracking your calories and then your protein intake, another one that we talk about, especially if you're cheating like me and doing Ozempic. Protein, because your body's going to start eating muscle really quickly if you are not feeding it right, and then you really screw your metabolism up. Her number three, I hear a lot, it is important, and that is sleep, at least 7 hours a night, and I like it. It's, think about this. I know I had this last week. There was a complete dick face at my real job who comes to work sick and then walks around the office. And it's like, dude, wear a mask, stay home, stop being a dick. But no, they don't do that. And it pisses me off. And we all have one or five of those in our office. Maybe you are one of those. Everyone hates you if you are. But if you have that, and then all of a sudden I came home one day and I was like, man, I feel like I'm getting sick. And you know what I did? I went to bed early, got 8+ hours of sleep that night, woke up the next day, I felt fine. Sleep is amazing. Your body does amazing things at healing itself and really taking care of itself, but sleep is vital for that. So that is her three things. If you want to lose a pant size by Halloween, start 3 days a week of some strength training, start tracking your calories, get on a caloric deficit, and also track your protein intake and keep your protein intake pretty high. Then at least 7 hours of sleep a night. And that's really good. Now I got another thing in here, and we do a lot of mental health talk here. I am all for it. I know a thing or five about it. And one thing I know a lot about are panic attacks. I know a lot about panic attacks, all from working in drug and alcohol rehab and also from doing public safety at a college, being an officer there. There's a lot of panic attacks in young people. A lot. And you deal with them. And you really need to know what you're dealing with. But if you have them, you should know what to do. You probably have a general practitioner or a therapist who has given you a prescription. And there's things you can take that will kick in pretty quickly that help a lot of people. And if you're around someone who has one, first thing you should say is, do you have medication for this? Do you need me to get it? Because I've seen people, kids when I was at the college, they get down and they lock up and they can't even move their hands, literally make into like a claw, like I am. And they're just frozen like that, and you could see how tight they're clenching in their fingers, and they can't open their hand. They can't do anything. So they couldn't open a pill bottle. But if they have it, you can get it for them, maybe get one out, put it in their mouth. You can help them, give them a drink of water. There's things you can do for them. And most important is breathing. Get them to breathe. And this goes for you if you're having one. This is telling you how to deal with a panic attack if you have one. It said, they are sudden episodes of intense anxiety. They cause physical symptoms, and they're very, very common. 1 in 10 Americans experience one this year. So that's how common panic attacks have become. And this psychiatrist is telling you how to deal on it. They say, wow, Dr. Stretch, focus on breathing. And then they say, turning negative thoughts into positive ones. What happens when your body goes into this panic mode, this intense, like, oh no, I'm going to die, because that's what you feel like, I'm having a heart attack, I'm going to die, this is it, I'm done. What's happening to my body? Your body is really rebelling on you to concentrate on positive thoughts. Your brain gets in a loop, and it starts that negative thought process, which is not the sidebar, but where mushroom therapy and hallucinogen therapy and all that stuff comes in, because people that have these tend to get into a mental loop, and even people with depression are in a mental loop where you've trained your brain to think bad, negative, bad, bad, sky is falling, doom and gloom, this is bad, I'm screwed, oh no, what am I gonna do, oh no, I'm gonna die, this is, and your brain is thinking in that negative, awful loop at all times. They have found mushrooms and other hallucinogens break that cycle and can retrain your brain in a very relative short time to get out of the negative mindset, the negative mind loop. So that's, they don't mention that in this article, but that's what the research is with those for depression and anxiety and all that stuff. But this doctor says try to take control of negative thoughts, turn them into positive ones. And it says, don't leave, because if you leave, the anxiety now controls you. So if you're sitting somewhere, you start to have one, and you get up and run away, they're saying you're letting the anxiety control you. I say the most important thing is you are not dying. You think you're dying. I've seen people that have never had one before have one, and they think, call 911, I'm having a heart attack, I am dying. I've had people say that to me, and it's like, you're having a panic. But we do, but because we have to not get sued. But you can also look at it, no, this is panic attack. So they say, you're not dying. You're going to be okay. Don't leave. Breathe for 4 seconds, holding it. So breathe in for 4 seconds, hold it for a second or two, and exhale for 8 seconds, and holding that for a second or two. And it says, do that 10 times. And what happens is, it's a good thing to break that cycle of the I'm going to die freak out thoughts, is getting your mind off of it and counting the breath. So it's very important. Breathing is very good. There's another exercise called tapping. This article doesn't go either, but it kind of is in line to acupuncture. And it's, you tap on pressure points or energy points on your body. It can be taught to you by a therapist or someone that knows about it, but I've seen that done too, where people tap, 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 and that, they say, is breaking the energy cycle of a negative panic attack. But something to look into if you do have these. Next, they say, try to reframe negative thoughts. Write down what you're thinking if you can. The plane is going to crash, and then flip it. The plane is not going to crash. Meditate on the flip rather than on the terror of, I'm on this plane, it's going to crash, and I'm going to die. So they say, ice anything cold on your neck also helps, some people say. And by the way, here's one too. And if you ever have these and you found a way to get yourself out of it, that's what works for you. Do it. Don't say, oh, I need to do this and try something different. Do what works at that point. But if you're just having one, this is a true story, because I am a Neanderthal. I am a knucklehead. And one time I had a panic attack. One time in my life, my heart started racing, like heart palpitations. And I literally thought, oh, I'm going to die. I'm having a heart attack. And it felt weird, but it didn't hurt. It was strange. And it was a panic attack. And I punched myself in the face. Probably not the best thing to do, but I snapped myself out of it. That was the end of that. Never had another panic attack. My body knows, man, if I try to do that again, he's just going to punch me. So that worked for me. May not work for you. I know someone who had one that they would pinch themselves. And by the way, that leaves bruises and everything else. But whatever works for you, you do you. But these tips also are beneficial. They say panic attacks tend to pass within a half hour. If it is lasting longer, you should consider going to the emergency room. Also seek medical care if you are severely hyperventilating to where you're getting chest pains, having difficulty breathing, feeling dizzy or lightheaded, or you consider hurting yourself like I did. Punch yourself in the face. I guess that is hurting yourself. I should have went to the ER. I might have been really dying. But all jokes aside, something to deal with. And if you are around someone, like I said, I always ask them if they have medication, and 9 out of 10 that I have encountered, they did, because they've had these before and they've visited a doctor and they have medication. Someone who suffers from these, they typically, it's funny, you get medications, multiple medications. It might be Xanax or various other stuff. It's usually Xanax. And they'll give it to you, and it'll kick in pretty quickly. And I think it becomes a mental thing to where I have this magic pill. I can take this, and it'll stop it. And you believe that. And since it is completely mental, it is not a physical condition, a panic attack, it really works. Now, the backside of that, if you are without your pills, and the first time you ever get out of the house and you're like, oh my God, I forgot my pills, you are ripe for a panic attack. As you'll psych yourself into one, is what'll happen. And I've seen that as well. So, a lot to know about these. If you probably know someone that has them, you may have them yourself, but for goodness sake, you know, talk to somebody, get some medication. Whatever works for you will work for you. And if you've got something that works, do that. The breathing's good. If you have a professional that you deal with, ask about the tapping. That's an almost new agey thing. And they did that in rehab. That's where I knew the tapping. And then I'd be out with clients and they'd start having one and be like, all right, tap. Are we tapping? What's our tapping routine? Let's go. And then start walking them through it. And then I knew it and I could talk them through it and help them through it. So that will happen. But good stuff. I know it's all about keeping the entire body healthy. And if your mind's not healthy, your body, it doesn't really matter how healthy your body is, because nothing's going right, you're going to be screwed. So let's keep the head right, the body right, keep everything right, and be healthy and get ready to move into fat season. That's the next stressor. That's the next panic attack. We're heading into fat season. It is time for me to go. We're going to get I have to pick another challenge. I'm gonna hold, and I will throw a challenge down Friday and kick off one for next week. I think I'm going to take a break because my knees hurt like F. They are tenderonies and sore. And I don't want to, actually back down my walking a little bit so that they don't, because once you have a nagging little injury, it just gets worse if you continue to aggravate it. And when you're old and fat like me, you just need to rest it and it'll go away. So I am going to not do a challenge and be the adult in the room this week. I will throw one down though on Friday on the bonus pod. I hope you guys have a great week. Thank you for being here. And I will talk to you again very soon with another episode of Fat to Fit or Else.